the people that I most want to hear have hear this story aren't with us anymore. You know, and you know this, John, being, you know, working in mental health here in Southern Illinois, the suicides with the young folks here this morning. I've got people, you know, in the last years, I've got in my peer group, I've seen my friends hang themselves, shoot themselves in the head. And we're all standing around left wondering what happened. 6.5% of suicide deaths in Illinois occur among individuals between the ages of 15 and 19. 15 to 19, the highest suicide rate of all age groups in Illinois. And apparently females, 45% higher than males in Illinois. Something that you're familiar with.
Yes. Well, and leaving out the 10 to 14 age group, which is the number one killer in children 10 to 14 years old, is suicide. And every 6 hours in Illinois, we experience a suicide. And suicides are double that of homicides in the state of Illinois. And sadly, Tom, what's happening here is in the southern part of Illinois, in our southern region, our experience and rates of suicide are higher than the general average for Illinois. So this is something that is haunting us desperately, and Centerstone is wanting to, with this event, kick off an effort to address some of these issues more effectively than we've been able to do in our communities.
And one of the opportunities that presents itself was our guest that was scheduled to join us this morning is Kevin Hines, a singularly unique individual when you consider two items. One, he jumped from the Golden Gate Bridge. The survival rate there is not. So for lack of a better word, John will call it a very convincing attempt. If you want to, I mean, right. That's, and we'll use that as a euphemism. So he survived that physically, but it also shows that there was a conviction there. It was not an attempt suicide. It was, for all intents and purposes, would have gone through. And then at the age of 19, he's a man that's bipolar. He's hallucinating. He knows when his hand has left the rail, he's made a mistake. But through whatever wind, his position when he hit, the physics of this is pretty staggering when you consider a fall of some 220 feet into the water. You pick up speed pretty fast. And this guy comes out on the backside. And when you've got someone like this, this rare voice that can come from almost literally beyond the grave to talk to people, I think using this person who's so willing to go out and tell his story can have the impact that you're seeking instead of, no, I think I understand. Here's a guy who has real empathy for that situation, that voice has got to be stronger than most.
Yes, and so think about this, Tom, the irony of all of this. This, from an attempted suicide, we have seen so many lives saved as a result of that experience. And the irony of hope coming out of something so desperate, an act so desperate. And so I think what really this opportunity, when we talk about Kevin coming and talking and having the opportunity to ask questions of him and see his life story and what he's gone through, for people, jumping off the bridge didn't fix Kevin's mental health challenges and behavioral health challenges. It just, now he's learning how to live with them. That gives hope to the people who are walking in those arenas and having those challenges and says, you know what, you may not feel like you want to die, but there's a reason to live, and you can do it. And there are people here to help you to do that. You need to talk about it. You need to, and the people alongside of you need to say, hey, no matter what your struggle is, no matter how down you feel, I'm going to hold your hand. I've got your back. I'm going to walk through this with you. These are two efforts that need to happen for the people that are walking there. They need to talk about it, and others need to walk alongside them.
John, I very often wonder if some of the school shootings that we do not see are suicide attempts turned outwards. I was wondering what your thought is there.
So the school attempts seem to be, and in our mind, seem to be people who have lost hope for life. They don't seem to be people wanting to do anything other than to be destructive, mostly to themselves in the end. But they want to make a statement that how unhappy and how the desperation in their life, how far it's gotten. It's not somebody who just is going out there and says, you know, I'm disappointed, I'm going to take my life, but I'm going to make a statement and take others out with me because I'm so unhappy, I'm so desperate, my life has turned out, and I've just lost hope, so to speak. And so I see that more on a line of, you know, a despair, if you will.
Right.
And you see despair in suicide, certainly, but the despair you see in suicide is somebody who takes their own life. And when the school shootings, it's somebody who wants to go out and take others with them. And that's the difference, I think, in this.
Yeah, and it's interesting because my personal experience has been with this. It seems to fall in two categories. You see it. You see a change in mood. You see this dark, you know, not as optimistic. You don't see them smiling. They kind of start rejecting their social relationships. And then something, the proverbial straw that breaks the camel's back, and they go act almost instantly on some type of emotional, but they've probably been planning it for a while. And the other type, very quiet. They make a plan. And they go do it, and they never give you a glimpse. And that array, because there's no one, you can't go say, oh, see, he's got this symptom, and he's going to commit suicide, or she does. There's this whole spectrum in between. I mean, I literally had a guy says, you know, I'm going to give myself an enema. And I'm like, buddy, that's the weirdest thing you've ever said to me in your life. And he says, no. I'm going to kill myself, and I'm going to give myself an enema. So I worked in emergency services my entire life. I don't want to put somebody else through it.
Oh, wow.
You know, and you start realizing the plans that people put into it. He, by the way, did get help, and he was a former fireman and is happily married and enjoying his life now and a Vietnam War veteran. But I've seen this whole spectrum, and I find it incredibly challenging as a friend to be able to find opportunities there when I'm not sure what I'm seeing sometimes.
You know, and the lie, Tom, is to people that are walking through some of these challenges is everybody knows what you're going through and nobody cares. And that's why it's so important for people. The stigma keeps people from and instills fear that, well, if I say something, they're going to think I'm weird. Or if I say something, they're not going to understand. Or if I say something, all of these sort of things, the fear, whatever it is, the fear that I don't want to talk about it. So therefore, I don't belong. I don't belong here. And that's one of Kevin's messages. You know, every morning he got up and he looked in the mirror and he said the guy in the mirror would say to him, I'm going to kill you. And what people need to know is that when they know that and they understand that they have a loved one that's going through that, they need to know that I'm going to stand in front of that mirror and say, you know what, to get to him, you're going to have to go through me. They've got people that really care about them, and you may not be a clinician. You may not understand even how to walk people through that from a clinical approach, but as people know you, if you're going to hold their hand, that you got their back as they're walking through this, it's going to make a difference, and it's going to help people get through these struggles. And it's going to be a day-by-day thing, but we have to – I think people know if you love them and are going to be there for them, they're willing to go through that journey.
Yeah, I believe that to be true. Now, here's the thing. This opportunity presents itself, and I got the name right. It's Suicide, The Ripple Effect, the film tonight presented by Centerstone at Southern Illinois University Carbondale. What's the time there, John?
7 o'clock in the Student Center. I think it's Ballroom D.
Yeah, Ballroom D, 7 o'clock, and then Kevin Hines will be there, and I would assume some Q&A and a speech presentation by Kevin.
Absolutely, and Kevin will stay till whatever time is needed. That anybody that would like to talk with him, we'll have some volunteer counselors there as well. If people, suicide is a very difficult issue, and if it arouses some very difficult emotions, there'll be people there to talk to.
Well, it does. I noticed when I was preparing for this interview, I had back shelved some of that emotional content because the last person I'd spoke at his funeral. And, and this guy had been a very close friend of mine. He was a truck driver. And I was talking about, you know, with his friends. And I said, you know, this is one thing. I was sitting with him one day and I said, what's the secret to being a good truck driver? He says, well, looking down the road and seeing what's happening down there, because you're never where you're at for very long. When you're driving a truck at 60 miles an hour down the road, where you are, you're not there very long. Look up the road and see what's there. And I said, you know, I think that's the lesson that we all need to remember. Where you are right now is not where you're going to be in 5 minutes, and the situation's going to change. So look forward. You're not in the speed that which life goes by. You're not in this situation long before things change. And I think that's, you know, of course, that's a bumper sticker mentality. You know, this is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. We've all heard that phrase. Right. And there's some truth to it. But it's much deeper and more complicated than that. It's just really not much more than a conversation starter, is it?
No, that's right. And I think the biggest thing that keeps people from talking about it is the stigma related to, you know, your heart is an organ and your brain is an organ. And sometimes hearts don't function like they should. Nobody puts a stigma on that and thinks, well, what's wrong with you, Tom? You know, you got a bad heart. I mean, is there something wrong with you? That's odd. Well, and when we have brain chemistry issues and brain health and your brain isn't functioning like it is and there's chemical imbalances, we look at people and we say, well, what's wrong with you? You know, and we stigmatize people like that and act like that's abnormal. Well, that's very normal. It's you know, you and I have those imbalances. We just hide them. Maybe we hide them very well. Maybe we don't hide them so well. I don't know. Yeah. But whatever it is, it's, you know, the stigma that keeps people, young children, adults, whoever, young, men talking about these things, is what's driving them to perceive a very different world than what it really is.
All right, the screens are free to the public. Registration is required, but to see the film, that's free, correct?
That's correct. And tell people, and people should come and get, and you know, if they don't get registered, there'll be room in the ballroom. But yes, we would like them to register.